Well, good morning. Lovely to see Maureen with us today. Maureen, it's lovely to see you today. Well, today we're going to be continuing in our series on the attributes, or qualities, or characteristics of God. And today I'm going to be looking at the sovereignty of God. Now, I'm also going to try and stand instead of walking. But we accept, as believers, as followers of Christ, that God is sovereign. And whilst I was studying this passage, I asked the question, why do I believe, or why do I accept that God is sovereign? And I ask you the question today, why do you accept that God is sovereign? Is it because it's what you've been taught over the years? Is it because it's what the Bible says? Or is it because you believe Him that He is? And there is difference. In much the same way that there are many in the world that know about Jesus, but don't know Jesus. And I know that some may struggle to see God as Father and will see Him as a being that's aloof and up there, out of the way. But I believe that when we come to actually believe that He is who He says He is, and that He is sovereign, and that He is in charge of our lives, then I think that we can only look at Him in a more positive and encouraging way and have a better relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I questioned myself and I looked at this and I looked at that and I read passages in Scripture, etc., and etc. And in the end, when you get rid of everything else, you either believe or you don't. So I make no apologies today. My message is coming from a believer's perspective. I believe that God is sovereign, and my message is basically black or white. There's no grey. If anybody has anything to say at the end, please feel free, come and speak to me, and I will gladly share where I'm coming from. So what is the sovereignty of God? Well, the sovereignty of God may be defined as the exercise of His supremacy. He is the Most High. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is subject to none. He is influenced by none. And He is absolutely independent. He is outside of everything that we can imagine. If we were to live on this earth for the next 500 years, we would never in our finite minds be able to understand the enormity and the powerfulness of God. And God does. And this is where a lot of people struggle. God does as he pleases. Only as he pleases. And always as he pleases. No one and nothing can outdo him. No one and nothing can hinder him. As his own word expressly declares in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass. For I do whatever I wish. Divine sovereignty means that God is God in fact as well as in name. He is on the throne of the universe, and he is directing all things, working all things, and sustaining all things. And I want to read something that Charles Spurgeon wrote on his message about Matthew 20:15. I'll just read from verse 13. It's a story that we all know. In fact, I'm going to read from verse 8. That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in. This is Jesus speaking. And pay them, beginning with the last workers first, when those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed that they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour and has received the same that we have received, having worked all day in scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others?" Never thought that way. And this is what Charles Spurgeon says. There is no divine quality more comforting to his children than that of God's sovereignty. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the most severe trials, they believe that sovereignty has allowed their afflictions, that sovereignty rules over them, and that sovereignty will sanctify them. There is nothing more comforting than knowing that God holds each one of their lives. Master over all creation, the kingship of God over all the works of his hands, the throne of God, and his right to sit upon that throne. On the other hand, There is no teaching more hated by the world. Man will allow God to be everywhere except on his throne. They will allow him to be in his workshop, to fashion worlds and make stars. They will allow him to be in his treasury, to dispense his gifts and bestow his blessings. They will allow him to sustain the earth and bear up the pillars, or light the lamps of heaven, or rule the waves of the ever-moving ocean. But when God ascends his throne, men then gnash their teeth. But we proclaim an enthroned God, and his right to do as he wills with his own, to dispose of his creatures as he thinks well, without consulting them in the matter. Then it is that we are hissed and booed and hated. And then it is that men turn a deaf ear to us. For God on his throne is not the God they love. That is so true. Psalm 135 verse 6 says, the Lord does what pleases him throughout heaven and earth, and on the seas and in their depths. The potentate of time revealed in Scripture, ineffably sublime. What does that mean? I love those words. Ineffably sublime. Well, it means we cannot name him. We can conjure up all of those words like amazing, wonderful, magnificent, and yet they don't even scratch the surface. He is the name above all names. And he has your lives and my lives in the palms of his hands. Wow. But what about us? Where do we come into the mix? Big question. And I would say this. Human responsibility is based on sovereign, on divine sovereignty. Am I echoing it? Human responsibility is based upon divine sovereignty. Just think about that for a second. Psalm 115:3 says, but our God is in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he pleases. Now God sovereignly chose to place man on a particular footing. Which seemed good in his sight. He created angels. Some he placed on a conditional footing. Others he placed on an immutable standing before him. Immutable meaning non-changing. It will stay the same. God is immutable. He never changes. He is the same today as he will be tomorrow, as he was a million years in the past. God is non-changing. And he has placed some of the angels on a non-changing footing. And 1 Timothy 5:21 says, God made Christ their head. Now let it not be overlooked
that God created the angels that sinned. He created Satan and his minions, just as he created the angels that were unformed. God knew that they would sin, yet he created them. But he was not the author of their sin. They chose to rebel against God. So too, God sovereignly placed Adam in the Garden of Eden. Upon a conditional footing. He could have placed him on a footing as immutable as the unfallen angels. But God chose to put him on a conditional footing with responsibilities. And God didn't do that because he had a right to do that. God did that because he did it. We can question why God does something. And we can question until we are blue in the face. And because he is sovereign, he does not have to give us an answer. And one day when we stand before him and we ask him, God, why did you do this or that? Guess what? Even then he doesn't have to give an answer. Why? Because he is God. God chose to set Adam in Eden on the basis of human responsibility so that he stood or fell according to how he measured up to his responsibilities. Genesis 2:15 tells us this. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Those were the conditions. That was the conditional footing that Adam was set upon, was placed in the Garden of Eden. He could choose to follow what God told him, and he would continue to receive God's blessings. Or he could choose to rebel. And what did he do? He ate of the fruits. Now God did not place Adam upon a footing of conditional responsibility because it was right for God to do so. No, it was right because God did it. God didn't put breath into the nostrils of man because it was right for God to do it, as if he had an obligation to create life. God did it because he did it. Because he is God. He is sovereign. Also, God placed Israel on a conditional footing. They would receive continuous blessings if they were to live to the laws that God gave them. They too had choice. If they lived by God's laws, if they lived according to God's conditions, they would be blessed. So they too have a choice. They could choose to follow God and his rules and regulations, or they could go against what he said. They could rebel, which they did, and divine judgment came upon them, and they were handed over to their enemies. But so far from his sovereignty, taking away responsibility from creation, it was by his right that he placed Satan and his minions, Adam in the garden, and Israel on conditional footings. It was God's right to do so. And many have foolishly said that it is quite impossible to show where divine sovereignty ends and human responsibility begins. Here is where human responsibility begins, in the sovereign ordination of the Creator. As to God's sovereignty, it never has, and it never will, end. You know, if we look through the Bible, there are plenty of places where God commanded people to do things that if he hadn't commanded, they would have been wrong. Let me say that again. There are things in Scripture which were right because God commanded them, but would have been wrong if he had not. For instance, what right did Adam have to eat of the fruit of the garden? None. Other than God allowing him to do so. If God hadn't allowed him to do so, he would have been a thief. What right did the Israelites have to borrow from the Egyptians items of jewelry and clothing if God had not commanded them so? What right did Israel have to kill all of the Canaanites, men, women and children, which would have amounted to genocide if God had not told them to do so? That is the sovereign power of God. And there's more. We could look through the Bible all day. Hence, human responsibility is based upon divine sovereignty. One more example of God's absolute sovereignty. And this is about you and I. God placed his flock, you and I, upon a different footing from Adam and Israel. He placed us on an unconditional footing. In the everlasting covenant, Jesus Christ was appointed our head. He took our responsibilities upon himself. And he wrought out a righteousness for us which is perfect and eternal. Christ was placed upon a conditional footing. For he was made under the law to redeem us that was under the law. With one infinite difference. Adam and Israel both failed. Jesus Christ did not. And who placed Christ upon that conditional footing? His sovereign Father. It was sovereign will that appointed him. It was sovereign love that sent him. And it was sovereign authority that appointed him the tasks that he had to carry out. Certain conditions were set before Jesus. He was to be made in the likeness of flesh. He was to magnify the law and make it honourable. He was to bear all of the sins of all of the world upon his own body on the tree. He was to make full atonement for us. He was to endure the outpoured wrath of God. And he was to die and be buried. On the fulfillment of those conditions, he was promised a reward. Isaiah 53, verse 10 to 12. He was to be the firstborn among many brothers. He was to have a people who would share his glory. Blessed be his name forever. And guess what? He fulfilled every one of those conditions. And because he did so, his heavenly Father stands pledged on oath to preserve through time and bless throughout eternity each one for whom his Son pleaded for. For you and I, and millions around the world. There is not a single condition for us to meet. There is not a single responsibility that we have to carry out in order to gain the salvation of our Lord Jesus, except believing him and following him. By one offering, he has made perfect forever those that are sanctified. Here then is the sovereignty of God openly displayed for all to see in the different ways that he set those on conditional paths and those like us on unconditional paths. Adam and Israel were placed upon a conditional footing, continuance in blessing, dependent upon their obedience to God the Father. In stark contrast is the blessing of the flock. We have been given an unconditional, an immutable, non-changing standing in God's covenant. God's counsels, God's Son, our blessings being dependent upon what Christ did for us. We don't have to go out of here every day and do this number of works or this many good deeds, because it's all dependent on what Jesus Christ did for us. And that was all brought about by our sovereign Father in heaven. So I ask you again, do you accept that God is sovereign because it's what you've been taught over the years? It's what the Bible tells us, which is great. But do you know and believe in your heart that He is sovereign? And I truly believe if you believe that in your heart, your life will change. And you will start to see your Heavenly Father in a different way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that You are sovereign. Thank You so much, Heavenly Father, that Your life, that Your hands hold our lives. We cannot even begin to imagine how big those hands are. But they're big enough to hold each one of us in, and all of the world as well. And whilst You are doing that, You're sustaining Your universe. Thank You that You are outside of time as we know it. We just want to say to you this morning, Lord, that we believe that You are sovereign. And there is none like You. And I pray, Lord, that my words are glorified in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, as we go from this place, in this coming week, we will think upon Your sovereignty. We will believe in Your sovereignty. That will make a difference in the way that we behave. And I pray that we will bring glory to You.